नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट 35। श्री उद्धव उवाच गुणेषु वर्तमानोपि देह जस्वन पावृतः गुणेन बध्यते देही बध्यते वा कथं विभो। श्री उद्धव उवाच गुणेषु वर्तमानोपि देहजस्वनपावृतः गुणेन बध्यते देही बध्यते वा कथं विभो। श्री उद्धव उवाच गुणेषु वर्तमानोपि देहजेष्वनपावृतः गुणेर्न बध्यते देही बध्यते वा कथं विभो। श्री उद्धव उवाच गुणेष्वमर्तानोपि देहजश्वनपावृतः गुणेन बध्यते देहि बध्यते वा कथं विभो। श्री उद्धव उवाच गुणेषु वर्तमानोपि उद्धव उवाच गुणेषु वर्तमानोपि माताजी। श्री उद्धव उवाच गुणेषु वर्तमानोपि देहजेष्वनपावृतः गुणेन बध्यते देहि बध्यते वा कथं विभो। श्री उद्धव उवाच श्री उद्धव सेड गुणेषु इन द मोड्स ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर वर्तमानः being situated, api, although, deha, from the material body, jeshu, born, anapravritaha, being uncovered, gunai, by the modes of nature, na, not, badhyate, is bound, dehi, the living entity, within the material body, badhyate is bound, va, or, katham, how does it happen? Vibho, O my Lord. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Sri Uddhava said, O my Lord, a living entity situated within the material body is surrounded by the modes of nature and the happiness and distress that are born of activities caused by these modes. How is it possible that he is not bound by this material encirclement? It may also be said that the living entity is ultimately transcendental and has nothing to do with the material world. Then how is he ever bound by material nature? Purport. Due to the influence of the modes of nature, the material body generates fruitive activities, which in turn generate material happiness and distress. This material chain reaction is indicated by the words Deha Jeshu. The personality of Godhead has shown Uddhava that the actual goal of life is liberation, not sense gratification. Although the Lord has indicated that the living entity is liberated by devotional service performed with knowledge and renunciation, Uddhava apparently does not understand the specific means of perfection. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Uddhava's question implies that we observe even in the activities of liberated souls such external activities as eating, sleeping, walking, hearing, speaking, etc., which are functions of the gross and subtle bodies. Thus, if even liberated souls are situated within the gross and subtle material bodies, then how are they not bound by the material modes of nature? If it is argued that the living entity is like the sky, which never mixes with any other object and therefore is not bound, then one may ask how such a transcendental living entity can ever be bound by material nature. In other words, how would material existence be possible? In order to completely clarify the path of Krishna consciousness, Uddhava presents this question to the supreme spiritual authority, Lord Krishna. In the kingdom of Maya, there are innumerable speculations about the Supreme Lord, who is variously described as non-existent, or as possessing material qualities, or as being devoid of all qualities, or as being a neuter object like a eunuch. But through mundane speculation, it is not possible to understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Uddhava wants to clear the path of spiritual liberation so that people can understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As long as one is affected by the modes of nature, perfect understanding is not possible. Lord Krishna will now describe to Uddhava further details of spiritual emancipation on the road back home, back to Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശതാരിണേ ജയ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാർ ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ശ്രീ ഉദ്ധവ സെഡ് ഓ മൈ ലോർഡ് എ ലിവിംഗ് എന്റിറ്റി സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് വിത്തിൻ ദ മെറ്റീരിയൽ ബോഡി is surrounded by the modes of nature and the happiness and distress that are born of activities caused by these modes. How is it possible that he is not bound by this material encirclement? It may also be said that the living entity is ultimately transcendental and has nothing to do with the material world. Then how is he ever bound by material nature? Hare Krishna. So I beg for the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, my senior God brothers, so that I can speak on this verse. Again, a fairly philosophical discussion. This entire chapter is fairly philosophical in nature. And, in this particular verse, Uddhava is asking two questions actually. And the first question he asks is that when surrounded by Maya and surrounded by the modes of nature, encircled, that's the word he uses, when we are encircled, surrounded from all sides by Maya and by the modes of material nature, how is it that a pure devotee does not get bound? How is it possible? Because as it's said over here, he's surrounded by the modes of nature and the happiness and distress that are born of activities caused by these modes. So when you're circled from all sides by this, how can you remain aloof? How is it possible? And on the other side, he also asks, if it's true that the soul is transcendental, then how is it that one is bound in the first place? So first is, soul is spiritual. We are all spiritual beings. Then how are we getting bound? And then second, that one who is a pure devotee, how is he not getting bound? So he's asking both sides of the questions. So I'll try to attempt, of course, the purport covers a lot of topics. I'll try to attempt to speak about maybe one or two of these topics because I may not be able to do justice to everything. So the one of the phrases that is used over here, I'll speak a little bit about that because that's an interesting thing for us to understand. What is this binding? What is this encirclement and how we get stuck in it? So he says living entities are surrounded by the three modes and the happiness and distress caused by these three modes. And then he speaks about the word, he uses the phrase chain reaction. He says that this material chain reaction is indicated by the word Deha Jeshu. So, what is this chain reaction? So, for those of us who have heard a little bit about chain reaction, it is something that once it starts, it can't be stopped. Right? We see that in nuclear physics, this nuclear reaction, once it starts, it picks up pace on its own. Then, externally, no one needs to put any effort. एक बार शुरू हो गया तो वो चलते जाता है, इट जस्ट कीप्स गोइंग ऑन एंड ऑन एंड ऑन, इट एक्सपैंड्स, इन फैक्ट बिकम्स बिगर एंड बिगर. इट स्टार्ट्स फ्रॉम जस्ट टू मॉलिक्यूल्स कमिंग टुगेदर, बट देन आफ्टर दैट वंस इट एक्सपैंड्स एक्सपैंड एक्सपैंड, इट जस्ट कीप्स एक्सपैंडिंग टिल ऑल द फ्यूल इज यूज्ड अप, इट जस्ट गोज ऑन. So what is this chain reaction that we are subjected to? So we are also part of this kind of a chain reaction. So this chain reaction begins from our chain reaction begins from the point where first the false ego comes into the picture. The false ego, where we decide, where we agree or we think that I am this body and I am the enjoyer. Janasya mohoyam aham ameti. So that is the beginning of all the problem. Chain reaction is initiated. You know, chingari usko wahan se milti hai, ki I am this body and I am the enjoyer. Now we don't need to specifically think like that I am this body, I am this. I mean, if you see in the outside world, nobody is going around thinking I am this body, I am this body. Nobody is specifically saying that. It's just ingrained in their consciousness that, you know, this body, I am this body and everything is this body and things in relation to this body are mine. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. Me and my, you know, my possessions. So those possessions could be anything. It could be my clothes. It could be my profession, my job, my business. It could be my wife, my husband, my children, my parents, my bank balance, you know, my extraordinary talents, you know, anything, whatever, you know, we are attached to. It doesn't take much for us to get attached to this material world. As Rava Gopinath Prabhu always says, even the beggar is proud of his penny. Beggar ke paas ek rupee ka coin hai, abhi athanni bhi nahi hai because it's gone now. You know, it's only 1 rupee or 2 rupee coin he may be having, but he's very proud of that. I have this. Isse mera aaj ka gujara ho jayega. I'll be able to survive today. So this attachment is so strong that, you know, we believe that this is mine, and that attachment keeps us bound. It keeps us bound to this material world. Not very difficult to understand, you know, like, it's not as if devotees are not afflicted by this. Even devotees are attached to many things. We also become attached to so many things. I always think, you know, whenever I come inside for Guru Puja, whenever there's a lecture to be given like this, where do I keep my bag? You know, I have a bag with a laptop and this tablet in it. So where do I keep my bag? Because if I keep my bag here and go, and I go for, you know, paying obeisance to Srila Prabhupada, that bag may say, wo chori nahi hona chahiye. Not that it's going to be stolen, but still that fear is there. Why is that fear there? My bag, my laptop. Imagine you come to a temple where there are devotees all around, people are dancing blissfully in kirtan, but still that thought comes. That shows how much we are attached to our things. You know, we don't have faith that this is the Lord's temple. You know, here all devotees are there. Still somewhere that lingering feeling is there because of this attachment. So this attachment is everywhere. Everyone is filled with, you know, varying degrees of this attachment. Then the next part of the chain reaction, as it is described, the material modes and the senses, you know, they come in contact. The senses come in contact with the sense objects. And as per the modes that one is afflicted by, so some people are afflicted by mode of passion, some are afflicted by mode of ignorance, some are in mode of goodness. Predominantly, of course, it is never that a person will always be in mode of passion, always in mode of goodness, or always in mode of ignorance. There is always a mixture of all three in our consciousness at all times. But predominantly, you know, we tend to be in a particular mode of passion, mode of goodness, mode of ignorance. And based on certain situations, those modes come out. You know, when the circumstances are created in front of us. Now, suppose somebody comes and, you know, stands, you know, you have parked your car there, and somebody comes and sits on your car. Aake gaadi pe baith ja, gaadi ke upar, on the, you know, on the bonnet or whatever, somebody comes and sits there. Immediately, so you're sitting, you're very peacefully standing and maybe chatting with some devotee near the gate, and you see your car is parked there, and someone comes and sits on the car. Immediately what happens? द इमोशंस कम आउट, ये मेरे गाड़ी पे मत बैठ, खराब हो जाएगा, राइट? सो इमीडिएटली व्हाट इज योर प्रीडोमिनेंट मोड दैट इज देयर इनसाइड, दैट रोप पुल्स यू इमीडिएटली, यू नो, इट जस्ट ड्रैग्स यू लाइक दैट, खट से. सो व्हाट मोड्स आर देयर प्रीडोमिनेंटली विद इन अस डिपेंडिंग ऑन द स्टिमुलस दैट इज गिवन एट दैट पॉइंट ऑफ टाइम. Suddenly that mode comes out, you know, that mode of goodness. If you're in mode of goodness, you see someone sitting in your car, you're like, okay, what's the big deal? Let him sit. If you're in mode of passion, immediately you'll get, you know, say, hey, gaadi pe mat baitho, don't sit. You know, you'll tell him to. And if you're in mode of ignorance, you'll pick up a fight. Ye tumhara gaadi hai kya? Kyun baitha aisa? You know, you'll pick up a fight. So, depends on what your nature, what your predominant mode is there inside, the sense object or the stimulus that is coming before you, we tend to react like that. You know, and if we are in a particular mode, if you are in mode of passion or mode of ignorance, and a particular sense object comes before us, then dhyayato vishayam pumsan sangaste upajayate sanga sanjayate kamat kamat krodho bijayate. So, because of the contact of the senses, now the senses are there as part of the material body. I believe I am the material body. I don't need to believe. I just act on that platform. I act with that knowledge. Therefore, when the sense object comes, senses come in touch with the sense object in my environment of what modes I am in, what happens? It gives rise to desires. Desires start springing up immediately. See how the chain reaction has started now. First, it started from my consciousness, I am this body. And everything in relation to this body is mine. Whatever I can enjoy, mere span of control mein jo bhi hai, whatever I can enjoy is mine. It's for my enjoyment. So now senses came in touch with sense object. Desires started coming up. I must have this. I must enjoy this. I must control this. This should be in my dominion. I must dominate this. So these senses start coming up. Then again, based on what modes we are in, predominantly, now, for example, someone who is in mode of goodness, when some sense attraction comes in before that person, for a second he may be distracted or she may be distracted that, oh, this is nice. But then, because mode of goodness is in, you know, mode of goodness is controlling the kingdom of your consciousness. Therefore, let me ignore this, you know, you are able to ignore it. But if your modes are also exactly as per, you know, that object that is coming before you, you immediately see it as a opportunity for enjoyment, right? And then the modes imperate you to act. Act, you know, act on this, perform whatever fruitive activities in order to obtain this sense object, whatever the sense object is. Now the next part of the chain reaction has started. The acceleration process has started. So, the desire came. Now from the desire, the mode of nature that you are in, it impels you to start acting. The material nature starts acting to ensure that now this fruitive activity needs to be done so that I can obtain this. And I think that I am the doer. Right? I am thinking that I am the doer. Prakriti kriyamanani gune karmani sarvasha ahankar vimudatma karta aham. I think I am the doer. Material nature is doing everything, but I think I am the doer. And in that way, now I start working on obtaining, you know, sense objects of this material world. So now I'm getting more into that chain reaction. Now the next step that happens is, after working for that, whatever sense object I'm looking for, next thing that happens is what? Either material happiness comes or misery comes. One of the two comes. So if material happiness comes, meaning I worked for something and I obtained it, I got it. What happens as a result? I become happy. I become happy and my conception, my idea that I am the enjoyer, Ishwaroham aham bhogi, Siddhoham balavan sukhi, that conception now becomes stronger. See, I worked for it and I got it. So that conception becomes now even stronger. So you see how we are getting more and more entrenched into this. Entangled is the word that is used. We are getting more and more entangled. Because we got what we were trying for. Now what happens if I don't get it? Suppose I don't get it, what happens? It gives rise to... If I get it, my conception became stronger and it gives rise to fresh desires. So it's not as if it stopped there. Okay, I got this and I'm done. Immediately we start thinking, let me get more. Arre, see, thoda sa mehnat kiya, ye mil gaya. Abhi aur thoda fight maro, ye bhi mil jayega. Ye bhi possible hai. Kyun chhodne ka? Try karo. Come on, you can do it. So the mind now starts convincing you that it's not sufficient to have this. You got a house, great. Now you must get a car also. You got a car, now you must get a driver also. You got a driver, now you must have a second car also. You got a second car, now you must have a second home also. So how the mind keeps convincing you, more desires. Thoda aur fight maro, ho jayega. Little bit more struggle and you'll get there very soon. Right? So the mind doesn't get satisfied even if it gets what it wants. It asks for more. And what is the other side? You worked and you didn't get it. Nahi mila. Jiske liye mehnat kiya, wo nahi mila. So what happens? If this suffering comes, the person thinks, minor setback. Thoda sa dikkat aa gaya, toh kya ho gaya? I can always try again. And now, with further efforts, you know, he starts working on his unfulfilled desires. He starts doing sinful activities also. He starts compromising. He feels ki, yaar, ye jo duniyadari mein janta nahi hu, you know, I am doing too honestly. Thoda duniyadari ke saath karun, to I will get what I want. Sab karte hain. Everyone does. So, what is the harm if I also do a little bit cheating here and there? You know, I'll break a few rules here and there. Kya farak padta hai? What is the difference? Right? So, the mind now starts convincing this person that it is all right to perform few sinful activities also, because you have to get what you want. You must get it. You must obtain it. So he starts performing sinful activities. And despite doing that, so okay, now he has done good, he's done some activities, he's got something that led to more desires. He couldn't get something that led to unfulfilled desires and created, you know, made him do, for, you know, sinful activities. What is happening as a result? Think about what is happening in the body. In the subtle body, what is happening? That compartment, you know, if we see three compartments in our body, one compartment is mode of goodness, one compartment is mode of passion, one compartment is mode of ignorance. So, at any point of time, as I said, those compartments are all there, but one compartment is slightly bigger. It pushes out the other and becomes slightly bigger in size. So, every time we are acting as per those modes, that compartment becomes bigger and bigger and more thicker and powerful. And mode of goodness, mode of ignorance, you know, whatever modes you are ignoring and not working in, those modes become little less powerful. And the mode of passion, if you are working predominantly there, that mode becomes very powerful. So, in our subtle body, every action that we are taking, remember, it is acting on those modes also, in our body. Right? And finally, after all this maramari is done of, you know, the good activity which leads to our positive fruits, fruitive activity which leads to not getting those results, then we perform sinful activity, then we have unfulfilled desires, all this put together, what does it do? Whatever reactions come from whatever activities you have done those activities thinking you are the doer, you have done those with attachment to the fruit, what does that do? These actions and the unfulfilled desires finally lead to what? Another body. New body is given birth to because Deheshu, you know, this Jeshwa, what he speaks about, this new body is coming about because of this whole chain reaction. It started from consciousness, I am the body. Then it came to the fact that, you know, I am the enjoyer. Then I started looking at sense objects and wanting to acquire them. Then I started working, doing fruitive activities to acquire them. Then I got implicated in the karma that came out of it. And then as a result, there are unfulfilled desires at the end of life. And there are the reactions to whatever nonsense I might have done or even good activities I might have done in this lifetime. So I am born again. and a new chain reaction starts in the next life. So it's a very complicated process. If you really look at it, it's like a thick soup. Like a thick soup with lots of, you know, lot of liquid and lot of vegetables and everything. And we are like the proverbial fly in the soup. We are like the fly which has fallen into the soup. And it's a thick soup, and in that soup, once you've got into that soup, the fly can't fly away. He can't. Wo chipak jata hai uske andar. Thoda thoda, he's a little bit, he's able to swim around in that soup. And little bit, beech beech mein, he tastes. He tastes the soup. Aray? First, he feels very hot. Then after that, the soup little bit cools down. You know, he feels nice. Aray? This is quite pleasant now. And he settles down into that soup. And he starts tasting. He tastes little bit. Aray, this is so tasty. Then he goes, he somehow struggles and swims across to another part of the soup. And he finds some vegetable there and he tastes that. Hey, this is even nicer, very nutritious. So he gets stuck in that soup. You know, in this, in the future parts also of this chapter and then of this section, Krishna gives that analogy of the bird in the, you know, on the tree. One bird is eating the fruits, other bird, which is Paramatma, is watching. So, you know, it is like that. The Paramatma is watching us stuck in this soup of material existence. You say, na, I am in a soup. We say this in English language, say, he is fallen in a soup. We have all fallen in this soup, and that soup is holding us there, and we are also struggling there. We cannot come out on our own. It is not possible for the conditioned living entity, which is stuck in this chain reaction from lifetime after lifetime, to come out of this. Very difficult. That is why we need, Krishna says, we need the knowledge of the Gita, we need the knowledge of the scriptures, and the association of devotees to give us that knowledge to extricate us. We need the shelter of Guru to pull us out of this situation that we are in. Despite following spiritual life, despite doing everything, still we are also to a large extent stuck in that soup. We have not yet got out of it. And the soup is very thick and very powerful to hold us in the material world. So that is why Uddhav is asking that itne thick soup mein se, how is it that the pure devotees are not affected? How is it that they are not affected by all this chain reaction that we just discussed? So, yeah. So, does this chain reaction not work on them? What about them? So, so the Supreme Lord Krishna, he answers this question in the next chapter. So, in the verse 11.11.11, I'll just read the translation. It says, or maybe even the purport. An enlightened person fixed in detachment, engages his body in lying down, sitting, walking, bathing, seeing, touching, smelling, eating, hearing, and so on, but is never entangled by such activities. Indeed, remaining as a witness to all bodily functions, he merely engages his bodily senses with their objects and does not become entangled like an unintelligent person. So this is how Krishna answers. This particular question that Uddhava has asked, Krishna answers it. So in the purport is mentioned, in the previous chapter, Uddhava asked Lord Krishna why an enlightened person, just like a conditioned soul, engages in external bodily functions. Here is the Lord's answer. While engaged in bodily functions, an unintelligent person is attached to both the means and the end of material life, and therefore experiences intense lamentation and jubilation on the material platform. A self-realized soul, however, studies the inevitable defeat and suffering of ordinary persons and does not make the mistake of trying to enjoy the bodily functions even slightly. He instead remains a detached witness, merely engaging in his senses in the normal functions of bodily maintenance. So it's very interesting that it is not as if the person who is a devotee, a pure devotee, is not engaging in the bodily functions. It is not as if they have completely given up everything. They are just sitting in some cave, and of course there are some people who take to that process as well. They renounce everything. But Srila Prabhupada teaches us the principle of Yukta Vairagya, where being in this world, but being not being of this world. Engaging in the activities of this material world, but not being attached to either the activities or the fruits that are going to come from them. It's a very high calling, definitely. But that is the process that Srila Prabhupada has given us. That is the process of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is telling Arjuna that you just do this. This is to be done, so you do it. But don't be attached to the result that comes from it. Anyway, happiness, distress are going to come. You know, it comes like summer and winter seasons. You have no control over it. Anyway, this misery is going to come. It's not as if you don't kill them, these relatives of yours are not going to be killed. They will anyway die. It's not as if you don't fight this battle and win it, the battle will not be fought and won. It will still be fought and won. In the 11th chapter, Krishna shows Arjuna that it's over, it's already finished, I've already killed all of them. You just choose to be the instrument, that's all, and become glorious. So, the Supreme Lord has given this, you know, understanding in the Gita that doing our activities, you know, without being attached to the fruits. So, a devotee does not get attached. He remains a detached witness, as it is mentioned here, just engaging his senses in the functions, normal functions of bodily maintenance. So, he will do whatever he has to do. He has to go to an office and work, he will do that. He has to serve in the temple, he will do that. He has to deal with people of the outside world, she will do that. So, depending on whatever are the situations that are thrown at a devotee, that devotee does the needful, does not get too bewildered by the difficult circumstances, or does not get too enamored or very, you know, very enthusiastic by the positive circumstances. If you see Srila Prabhupada, when he went to the US first time, so I was reading this last night, you know, the Prabhupada Leelamrit, where he goes to Butler, Pennsylvania. First time when he goes there, he doesn't know what to expect. He has carried grains with him, he has carried vegetables with him, because he doesn't know what food he is going to get there. And when he goes and stays in this house of Gopal and Sally Agarwal, over there, he is, he is living in that family. And slowly but surely, over a period of time, he wins their heart, just by his very sweet behavior. Srila Prabhupada is so loving towards their son and their family, and he cooks for them every day. First he starts cooking, he has a schedule, a fixed schedule. So in the morning he gets up, you know, and then after that he cooks his lunch by around 11 o'clock, 11, 11:30, then he eats lunch and leaves. And over a period of time they also started liking the food that he's making, and they would start eating it, they would also eat along with him. Now in the evening sometimes they started calling people to meet with Prabhupada. And they would come, those people would be smoking. They would sit in the room where Prabhupada is speaking and they would be smoking. And of course this family was also eating meat. And Prabhupada knew that, but he had no choice. He had to live in that circumstance. So Sally Agarwal mentions that what a wonderful gentleman this soul is. Though he was living with us and he was uncomfortable with the fact that we are cooking meat, but still he was tolerating everything very lovingly, and they became sensitive as a result. They started, you know, they would cook meat after Srila Prabhupada left. At 11:30 he would have lunch and leave. He would go to the YMCA for writing, you know, writing his books. At that time they would cook and eat, and after he came back sometimes the smell would be there, so they would apologize. She would apologize, I am sorry, you know, really. She would feel very apologetic that, you know, you are having to tolerate this smell. So he would say, Prabhupada say, that's alright, it's okay, don't worry about it, don't think much about it, it's okay. So a pure devotee is able to face even these kind of circumstances. He lived in the Bowery, you know, it's described, he lived in the Bowery. When he was living there, first his typewriter got stolen, then he was attacked by somebody. He was living among people. You imagine, in this Bovary, he was living among people who were drunkards, derelicts, people lying on the staircase leading to his room. There would be people fallen on that staircase, you know, with completely intoxicated state. These are the kind of people that Prabhupada is dealing with on a daily basis. He was even preaching to such people. So how do we understand? What is it about this pure devotee that he is living among them, and still he is transcendental? How is it possible? Once Srila Prabhupada was, I think, in Australia. And in Australia, this is, I think, 1974. So ISKCON was already 7-8 years old. So once he was coming for a program, so he came, his devotees, his disciples organized for a Rolls Royce. The Rolls Royce is the most opulent car, you know, on this planet Earth. It's a very, very opulent car. So in the Rolls Royce, Srila Prabhupada was brought to the program. So when he got down from the Rolls Royce and he came and sat, he gave his lecture, and then after that he was interacting with the reporters. So once one reporter, you know, in Australia especially, if you read Leelamrita, you'll see a lot of challenges were given to Prabhupada, especially in Australia. In other countries, of course, it was there. In Australia, it's very heavy. They were very heavy on him. So one of the reporters asked, "So what is this? You know, you're coming in Rolls Royce. You know, if you're a spiritual path, you should be leading a more austere life. What is this Rolls Royce?" So trying to, you know, provoke him and see what he says. So Srila Prabhupada was very simple, very nice answer he gave. He said that, see, it is not that I am asking for this Rolls Royce. It is my disciples who are giving. Is your understanding that if someone is not traveling in Rolls Royce, he is spiritually advanced? What is your understanding? If a person is not traveling in Rolls Royce, it means that Guru is automatically spiritually advanced. Or that if someone is traveling in Rolls Royce, it means he is not spiritually advanced. He says that I am representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am representing Krishna. Krishna travels in a gold chariot. He says this Rolls Royce is made of tin, rubber and wood. This is not even sufficient. So he is hinting, even if you give a gold Rolls Royce, it is not enough. Because what the Guru is doing, what is the Guru doing? Guru is extricating that makhi, that fly, from the soup of material existence. So aisa nikal ke baju mein rakh raha hai. And we are so foolish, we are such foolish flies that we fly back into the soup again. After Guru removes us, you know, at time of initiation, he says, okay, here it is, I have taken you out. Now stay out of the soup, chant Hare Krishna, serve Srila Prabhupada and perfect your life. He says, yes sir. And then we again fly back to the soup. That is our unfortunate condition. You know, but this is what Guru is doing for us. He's taking us out of this horrible material existence and giving us the path back to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, back to Krishna. So how grateful we should be. So Guru is one who is not affected by any of these things. All the Vegas, Vacho Vegam, Manasa, Krodh Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udarapastha Vegam, none of these urges are affecting him. They may touch him. He may come in contact with these things, but he is not affected by them. He is able to just observe them like a witness, as it is mentioned here. You know, as a witness, he just sees it and allows it to pass by. So, earlier in this chapter, you know, it is mentioned that there are different standards. Another way to understand, you know, the devotees, how they are able to slowly but surely extricate themselves from this. So, different standards are followed by ordinary people versus the Kanishta Adhikaris versus the Madhyama and Uttama Adhikaris. Different standards for different things. So, it is mentioned in the fourth verse of this chapter. So, for example, the one who is an ordinary person, he eats only for pleasure. He only eats for pleasure, that's it. And he eats whatever is available. Whatever sense object is available in terms of food, based on his modes, he just procures it and eats it. He'll do whatever, beg, borrow, steal, but he will eat it. When a person becomes a devotee and
progresses a little bit in Krishna consciousness, what does he do? He first offers it to the Lord. He wants to enjoy, but he's been taught, bhai pehla offer karo, phir khao. So, pehle aisa quickly, you know, make the plate, offer, and you know, he's waiting, Bhagwan, ho gaya kya, jaldi, chalo, you know. And removes the offering, puts it and starts eating. Even if he says, Mahaprasade Govinde, but his consciousness is on the Mahaprasad, not on Govinda. Right? So, he's like full focus, ki khane ka jaldi. And then there is the pure devotee who he offers whatever food is there, whatever clothes are, whatever he is doing, he offers to the Lord for the Lord's pleasure. He is not eating for his pleasure. He is eating because this is Mahaprasad, because this will keep body and soul together. And this eating this prasad, preme dako, you know, with love, he is looking at Gauranitai and he is eating the prasad. So he is in a different consciousness altogether. Same activity of eating, but this is what is the consciousness of pure devotee. Similarly, one person works for money. I must earn money, I must become rich. He works for money. Another person, you know, tries to think that no, I should not work for money. You know, I should do my duty. And whatever money comes from that duty, I will offer part of it back to the Supreme Lord. I'll offer it to Krishna. And the pure devotee is working for Krishna. He is not interested. Money came, didn't come. Makes no difference to him. Completely detached from the fruits. Right? That's what the pure devotee is. Sadhana. For the ordinary person, does sadhana for material benefits. They do austerities, they do pujas, they do yajnas. For what? For material benefits. Some, that's their sadhana. Then the initial devotee, he does sadhana for purification. That I want to be purified of my anarthas. Ultimately, I want to be liberated. Right? He is doing it for some purpose. But the pure devotee, whatever sadhana the devotee does also, is for the Lord's pleasure. So you see, depending on whatever activity may be there, depending on the consciousness that the devotee is in, he will react to that stimulus, he will react to that duty, he will react to that activity in a different way. Because his view is different, his nazariya alag hai uska, uska dekhne ka nazariya alag hai. Because of the knowledge that he has received from Krishna consciousness, he looks at the same thing in a different way. The mode of passion has been little bit curtailed over a period of time, and mode of goodness has become little bit bigger. So therefore, when that stimulus comes also, you know, if he has been sincerely following the process of bhakti, he's like, nahi yaar, I should not be doing this. At least he feels guilty before doing. You know, so that change has happened, that transformation has happened. We don't realize it, but it is a transformation. It is a change. Of course, we have to transform much more. So devotees may be acting in a particular mode at a particular point of time because of the situation they are in. Somebody is a brahmachari, somebody is a grihastha, somebody is a vanaprastha, somebody is a sannyasi. Depending on what, you know, ashram we are in, we may be in particular duties we may be doing on a day-to-day basis. But we should not, outsiders should not get bewildered because, are they are doing this externally, are ye to ye kar raha hai, he is doing this, he is doing that. We should understand that their external body may be doing particular activities as per the duties that they have been given, as per the circumstances they are given. But their inner consciousness, their subtle body is steeped, is dipped in sattva guna, or it is dipped in bhakti yoga. Therefore, depending on the depth they are in, like we see the story of Pundrik Vidyanidhi, when Gadadhar Pandit saw him for the first time, very opulent person. Very, very opulent. He was wearing fine silks. He was sitting on a bed, big wooden bed with, you know, silken pillows by his side. There were three layers of cloth, you know, under, made of fine brocade. And his hair was nicely anointed with scented oils. His body, he was wearing a nice tilak. And even the tilak on his, gopi dots on his body were mixed with perfume. And the hair was beautiful, and he had two mirrors on each side, and time to time he was looking at those mirrors, ki, am I looking alright? So the countenance that Gadadhar Pandit encountered, he felt that this is a prince. Ye to prince hai. And Mukunda had taken him there saying that, oh, I am taking you to meet a pure devotee. you know, you have this desire to meet a pure devotee. I'm taking you to meet a pure devotee. So you must meet him. So Gadadhar Pandit comes with great anticipation. Hare, I want to meet a pure devotee. I want to meet a pure devotee. And then he sees this. He's thinking, ye kya chakkar hai? You know, why is he? And then there are people who are fanning him. And he is, you know, very nicely. He greets Gadadhar Pandit. And Mukunda introduces that this is that pure devotee I was speaking about. And Gadadhar Pandit, his expression probably changed. And Mukunda immediately understood, oh, he is misunderstanding. He is looking at the external factors. So immediately then Mukunda chants a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Pundarik Vidyanidhi, when he hears this verse, he goes into ecstasy. Complete ecstasy. And he starts howling and screaming, and all 8 symptoms of ecstasy come onto his body. And he collapses. He just falls unconscious. And then he gets up again. When he gets up again he starts screaming and shouting and pushing things away. He starts kicking all those pots that are lying next to him. He tears the chadars that he's sitting on. And he's just, Krishna, Krishna, I don't have any love for Krishna. I have no love for Krishna. And when Gadadhar Pandit sees this, that externally I was seeing a person who looks like a prince, but internally so deeply entrenched is this bhakti. It is so deep and so broad. It's like it's been compressed inside. Andar daba ke dala hai wo, stuff karke dala hai. Ki ek thoda sa tinka bhi laga, to it just blew up. That, you know, that love for Krishna just came pouring out of him. So this is what we should understand. Never judge a devotee by the externals, by what external activity they are doing at a particular point of time. We tend to get bewildered. Are, why is he doing this now? Why is his priority changed? Ye kyun kar rahe hain? Ye samajh mein nahi aa raha hai. We may get bewildered by sometimes the activities of devotees. But we should understand what is inside. We don't understand actually. We can't understand what is inside. So we should accept that even Krishna says in the Gita that even if someone is performing abominable activities, still we should be considering them as sadhu. This is the reason. Because external they may be doing certain activities. Sometimes they may make mistakes also. Occasionally a devotee may come under the influence of Maya and the modes and commit mistakes. But still, because his internal consciousness is again and again brought back to Krishna. Again and again, every day in the morning, he picks up his beads and chants, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Because he keeps bringing back his consciousness to Krishna. Because he remains in the association of devotees, therefore he is still protected. So it is not for us to judge. It is not for us to see that, oh, externally this is there, that is there. We should not judge devotees by their external appearances. We should understand that the Supreme Lord is protecting them personally. Guru is protecting them personally. So even though they may be doing these activities in the material world, modes of material nature are acting on them also. It's not that they are not touched. Of course they are. They are also touched by modes of material nature. They also fall sick. They also get angry. They also may feel sometimes lusty desire passing through the mind. But they remain a witness. They just witness it coming, going. They try not to get entangled. Because the moment you get entangled, oh, someone said something to me, about me, mere bare mein bola, how dare you? Janasamoham. Chalo gaya. Chain reaction has started. About my reputation you spoke. You spoke about my children, my wife, my family. Immediately. Then the process, chain reaction starts. So to conclude, we should understand that the process of bhakti, through the process of bhakti, we receive this knowledge and strength. We receive knowledge that what is this material world, what is spiritual world, what is the difference, how we can, you know, by surrendering to the process of bhakti, by taking shelter of guru, we can slowly but surely extricate ourselves from the entanglement of the modes, the chain reaction, the modes, then the senses, then the desires, then the fruitive activity, then the reactions, and the karma that comes. You know, but as devotees we understand. So through the process we can be extricated from this soup. However, as devotees, similarly, we need to be careful. We need to be careful not to take dangerous steps. You know, Krishna is protecting, Guru is taking care of me. I am sorted. No. We should be careful not to make mistakes in the name of Yukta Vairagya or practicality. Oh, it's just practical to do this, you know. Bahut jyada nahi karne ka bhakti, you know. You'll get spaced out, you'll get fried out. So in the name of practicality, in the name of Yukta Vairagya, be careful what we are doing. Else again we will be dragged down into the same chain reaction. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai.